Hi guys, welcome back. This is Richard Sachs. I'm your host on Lost Arts Radio, and this is Lost Arts Radio Live, the show we do on Saturday afternoons at least afternoon in the Pacific time zone, where I am right now in Arizona. It's 4:30 and 5:30 Mountain, 6:30 Central, and 7:30 Pacific time every week. I mean, sorry, Eastern time. And what this is about is we look at what's happening in the world and the meaning behind it. We only have an hour a week, although I take a couple of days to prepare for it generally, integrated with the other work I'm doing during the week. And look at, you know, what are the patterns, what are the things that are going on that are relevant to your life, and what does it mean about responses that would be good for us to have? And I was preparing yesterday, and it was really intense because there's so much hormone stuff going on. And I thought, wait a minute, this is a rerun. You know, this has to be a rerun. It's like every week I just start looking over the news developments and things that are going on behind the scenes in different countries and different parts of the world. And it's just, I mean, if you boil it, there's infinite details practically, but if you boil it down to simply what's happening, it's just the vast majority of people in the world just trying to get by and have a good life and make a living and take care of their families and stay somewhat sane in the midst of, you know, whatever they're having to do to accomplish all that. And I know in America, there a huge percentage of people, 80 or 90%, hate what they do all the time for their regular job. And they, I mean, they're fortunate, obviously, to have a job that can pay enough to keep their family going. And usually, right now, with the central bank siphoning off most of the wealth, it takes it two people at least to provide for the family, which gives the kids to the government, which is the whole point of the whole thing. You know, like a famous dictator in Germany said, if you get the women and the children, then the men follow along with that. And if you have to start by getting the children, that'll still work, because by the time they grow up, totally brainwashed, which is what we're doing in public education and some of the private ones too, then, you know, as the older people die out, pretty soon you have an entire society of brainwashed people. And I think that we're pretty far down the road to that happening, at least in the so-called Western countries. A lot of the Eastern countries, well, the big ones, China, for example, they don't worry about being subtle. They just go in and, you know, they're demonstrating right now what they do with dissent in Hong Kong, because they got a little taste of relative freedom and thought it would be nice to hold on to it or expand it. And Chinese just bring in, you know, not the Chinese people, but the government, which is totally not the same thing. They bring in all these tanks and, you know, plain clothes and military clothes, personnel trained to beat up and or kill anybody that is getting uppity and, you know, trying to protest and things like that. And they're in the process of that right now. A couple of days ago, they had a video of them, the military, just shooting this protest, unarmed protester, right up against him. They call it point blank range when there's no distance, with I think 357, and obviously it was not good for the protester in that case. And it's a little bit more sophisticated in countries like America, but it's the same basic theme that you've got a very small cartel of individuals at the top, which, you know, we don't really see the top most of the time. I think that from my many decades of involved in research with this stuff, that the real upper parts of the pyramid power structure are people whose names we have not heard. You know, you've heard some of the big ones that are public, but ones above that may not even use names that we've ever heard before. And you've got this small, really brilliant organizers at the top, which are completely malevolent and evil, basically. And I'm defining evil not being the wrong political ideology or anything like that, but pursuing and worshiping and causing pain and suffering and death for its own sake. And, you know, that's the essence of what they're after. And at the top, you may have heard it called satanic. That's what it is. And whatever your interpretation of what Satan may or may not be, it's what they're all focused on and what they're doing. And it's all through society now as a result of a combination of that kind of ruler with a completely dumbed down and hypnotized population, or at least largely hypnotized and dumbed down. And it doesn't really produce a very good future. So, you know, I'm really interested in what we can do to turn that around. So yesterday I was thinking, wow, this is just like every other week, and it just gets a little bit worse maybe each week, but it's the same sort of thing, and not really too interesting to say the same thing again. So what's behind it? You know, what could we see that would actually be educational other than just more details about how horrible everything is? Not everything, but what the rulers are, in general, the corporate rulers are trying to do. And most of the governments are corporations now, by the way. So when I say corporate, I mean corporate and government partners. And sitting here in America, I know that I know a little bit more about American history than most other countries in the world, which I really like to know the history of every country. Honestly, I'd like to. I'd like to speak all the languages, too. But I know that even without that, we're all connected and we're dealing with the same sort of thing in different styles of it. Different degrees of overt oppression versus covert, and almost every major country in the world, with very few exceptions, is dominated and controlled by a central bank now, which controls the government because they control the money. And it's like Mayor Rothschild said a while back in, I think it was near the end of the 1800s, but I'm not absolutely positive if the date's right. And he said, you know, as long as I control the issuing of the currency, I really don't care who makes the laws, because if I tell them to make a different law, they're going to do it for sure, because they depend on the money. And it's this brilliant system where the people in charge of the central banks don't really necessarily have any real money. They just give themselves the right. I don't even see how that's put up with, really, because it's so ridiculous. But they give themselves the sole right to issue money. And at that point, you know, they have all these sophisticated ways of presenting it, so politicians that go along with it, probably a combination of the usual bribes and blackmail type thing. But in any case, they get it instituted in countries all over the world, all coordinated under the organization of the Bank of International Settlements in Switzerland, which basically controls the whole thing. And I know from the American perspective here, America was supposed to be like this beacon of freedom, right? Not freedom for governments, but freedom for individuals. And that it was totally the opposite of the collectivism that Edward Griffin and so many other people talk about, that leads to tyranny and total devastation of the individual in society. It was a country that was really an amazing idea. Yeah, it wasn't ever totally lived up to yet, but the idea was spectacular. You know, getting to live your life like you want to live it, be who you want to be, and think what you want to think, whatever belief or religion or no religion or whatever philosophy you want to have, and say whatever you want to say, and, you know, start a farm or a business or work for somebody or whatever you feel like doing to make a living, as long as you don't take away the rights of other people, is really simple. And they started a whole country based on that. Very imperfect. You know, they didn't get rid of slavery until the 1800s, and they did horrible things to the natives of the country that they conquered, from mostly from Europe and other parts of the world. But the idea of the new country, which was ultimately realized it had to include everybody, that people of various so-called races and nationalities and heritages and Native Americans and everybody, and was supposed to be equal if they were, you know, a citizen of America, all united with the idea of freedom and mutual respect and protection by the government of everybody's rights. And that's really the only reason that I have ever heard that's legitimate to start a government. And it's talked about in the American Declaration of Independence, which is a great document for that reason, that it lays out that the people of the country and the resources of the country and nature in that country, that's the country, not the government. The government's a bunch of people who are dangerous and need to be controlled. And if they have wisdom and benevolent motivation, they are there to help their country or make their country a wonderful place to live, a great place, like is being talked about in America and a lot of other countries now. which is a good idea to make your country great. And great does not mean that you go beat up other countries. That's not great. It's like in Star Wars, you know, when Luke says he's looking for a great warrior, and Yoda, who's in disguise at that point, says, great warrior, and I can't talk like Yoda, we need Alex to do that or something. But he says, great warrior, war not make one great. And it's like, we've got all this historical and religious documents and everything that are defining great as being able to kill the most people in the most efficient time. And it even shows that God's on your side if you can kill them even faster and with less of an army on your side. I mean, that's really not the ultimate value of society, to be able to kill everybody faster, even though it seems like we are trained for that. And I know I was. I used to watch Bonanza every week as a little kid, and we knew the Cartwrights would always win, and that they were really good because they could kill people faster than anybody else. And the same with Matt Dillon and Gunsmoke. It's probably a few generations before the time of many of you, but I'm just pointing out that our training has been that, as they used to say, might makes right. You know, the best killers are the biggest heroes. And now in the movies, they've had the women join the men for perfect equality. They get to kill everybody too. And the best women heroes are carrying, you know, two machine guns at once. And we got kind of a little bit off track. And I think the entertainment and Hollywood and the media and fake education and everything have been training people to be the perfect subjects of the rulers. But originally, America was based, the idea of America, which still needs to be lived up to, was based on individual freedom, spiritual values, free market capitalism, which we haven't seen totally yet in this country. It's mostly, you know, immoral and illegal cartels, that where you have industry merged with government, and the definition of that is fascism. Mussolini talked about it during World War II and after, and most of the people in America protesting fascism don't know what a fascism is. They have no idea. They're just taking their $200 a day or whatever they get to protest and go out and beat up women and kids and weak-looking men and think, yeah, we're definitely fighting. That one for sure was a fascist that I just knocked out. I mean, they're really totally out to lunch, and they're fighting against their own benefit. They just don't understand it. But originally, it was all based on spiritual values and very limited controlled government. And in fact, the government was so limited in America, it had a list of powers. And it wasn't a deal where you could use these powers, if you're the government in America, that you could use these powers and anything else you needed, by the way, to make those powers better. It wasn't like that. It was like the list called the enumerated powers in the Constitution. And it said, here are your powers. You can never do anything else unless there's another amendment to the Constitution or that sort of thing. But you're not allowed to do anything except this list of powers. So corrupt people, dishonest people got into the government, obviously. I mean, I guess you've noticed that, right? America's not, as a government, living up to the ideals that it was started on. And they said, okay, well, they were really clever. They said, if we can't do these other activities, you know, what's the fun of being in government? And so if we've got these enumerated powers, we'll just create companies. And they, as far as I know, are incorporated companies, and call them government agencies. That way it's not us doing it, so it's not unconstitutional. And what it's proving is that there's no system, even a constitutional republic with free market capitalism and all the best ideas for prosperity and, you know, well-being of the population and everything, any system can be corrupted if the people are corrupt. A constitutional republic, realize it, can be as bad as a total tyranny. And how would you do that? Well, you just have total tyrants write the Constitution, right? And if you can't do that, and it's too late, and you already had founders like in America who were, for the most part, really insightful, wise people, and they wrote to try to protect individual freedom and contain the government, and just use the government to protect the rights of the people and the borders for sure. That's right in there as the president's duty and the Congress to back him up and everything. You must protect against invasion of any kind. But beyond that, the government couldn't theoretically do anything much except for the enumerated powers. And if you get in and that's already established, well, all you do is get everybody used to breaking their oath of office. And that's what they're doing now. They break it at the latest as soon as they get into office, most of them. And it's not a good situation. So that's the situation we're in. And yet, because America was started with the memory and the theory of individual freedom, which is very unusual in the world. I mean, Switzerland is kind of demonstrating some aspects of it, but I can't think of really any other country that was founded on that. Eastern Europe now is showing signs of reawakening to it, and they've got a good leader in Brazil who hasn't been assassinated yet, although they tried once and almost succeeded. But the consciousness of the population determines the fate of the world. So if you had really malevolent rulers at the top of the power structure and a really awake population, it would turn out okay. But if you had the most benevolent rulers and the whole population is totally insane, which we're certainly going in that direction right now, then it would not necessarily turn out too well. Unless the benevolent, wise rulers figured out how to wake up the population, and they might do it. So I'm just looking at, rather than having a rerun of the same list of bad things happening, say, what's going on behind the scenes? What does it mean? American ideals are not just for America. They were originally generic things like freedom that pretty much everybody would appreciate. Or should appreciate, I guess. It's a natural motivation in life is to be free to live the way you want to really. And except for the people that the way they want to live is to subjugate other people, the rest of them that are normal in various ways should have that protection and freedom. And that, I don't agree with the anarchists in this analysis. And, you know, they're saying if you just get rid of government, everything's going to be great. I think we're way past that point now. It's much deeper and more serious. And that governments, as long as you have a country in a world where other countries may want to actually kill you or gradually take over your country by ruining the fabric of your society, like the Chinese government is clearly doing to the U.S. right now, and it's happening in a lot of other cases all over the world, if you're in an environment where you've, and other countries are run by theocracies where they have a religion whose belief and their scripture, which I happen to have read thoroughly, all three of them, is to kill or enslave anyone who won't convert to their religion. And fortunately, not all of their members follow that, but that's literally what's in their scripture. It's not any kind of weird theory. You can read it anytime you want to. When you have countries around you like that, or countries like we have to the south, where the people down there, unfortunately, are enslaved to drug cartels that are extremely well-armed and totally dominant because no one else is allowed to have firearms, which is a suicidal policy that they're trying to get going in America now, you must maintain your borders and your sovereignty as a country and as much self-sufficiency as you possibly can have. Otherwise, over time, you're gone and you become a mix of what you used to be with the other country. And if the other country is dominated by drug cartels or something like that, they're just going to expand their territory to cover you as well. So in America, one of the duties of the president that he's not only allowed to do, but must do, and the current president's really derelict in his duty, although he's being blocked by both parties of the Congress now, is he's supposed to absolutely control the border. No invasion. Even if they bring 100 kids with each adult, it doesn't matter. If it's illegal invasion, the president has an absolute duty to stop it. And that, you know, you can't have everybody in the world just say, okay, we need asylum now. Sorry. We don't like our country and we like your country, except we hate your country, but we want to live there and take advantage of it. That's not asylum. That's the destruction of the country that is accepting that kind of nonsense. And that is what the United Nations has been doing. And everybody thinks, wow, you know, United Nations sounds so cool, and that it just has to be nice. I mean, it's no doubt got huge numbers of great people working there thinking it is nice and must be. It's not nice, because the people running it are organizing this mass invasions of other country and other countries under the name of migration, and it's a complete deadly fraud for the countries to go along with it, and the leaders that accept it know that. And I think they're planning on good positions in the resulting world tyranny that comes when all the other individual countries collapse. It's not a good thing. And the people that are devoted to television on the corporate media in America are falling for it. And they're not just falling for it intellectually. It's like, it's not because they have an understanding that it's good. It's because there's some kind of programming that's happening to society in general that's primarily emotional. It's not like they understand what they're for and against. They just know they really are, and they're very angry about it, and they're willing to beat you up if you disagree with them. That's the programming that's happening. It's not like really intelligent ability to, you know, explain your cause or something like that. It's the ability to go berserk and make a lot of noise in public so nobody else can talk, and start violence and things like that. And that's what's going on right now to a large extent in America. Not everybody, but it's a danger to the survival of the country, and not a good example to the rest of the world. But it, originally, the country was meant to stay self-sufficient and strong and well-armed, not well-armed just in the military, but all the citizens, so it could never be taken over by drug cartels and thing, or rogue governments or anything like that. It couldn't happen. And even the individual armed robbers and murderers and rapists and things would have a really bad time, because you don't ever know who's armed and is going to protect themselves. So it makes crime a really bad business. And in America right now, as they previously did in the UK and Australia and places like that, they're saying, no, we've got all, they call it gun violence. It's a really brilliant name, because subconsciously it's telling you, guns are the ones that are causing this violence. It's obviously, because if somebody gets shot, well, where did the bullet come out? If it came out of a gun, so the gun caused the violence, you know, case closed. And that's really dumb to go along with that. But they have a dumbed down population who's starting to believe that. And they can't understand that in the big American cities, where it's virtually impossible to acquire the means of self-defense, there's a worse violent crime, and they would call it gun violence, but it's the worst gun violence and knife violence and car violence and every other kind of violence. So the founders in America knew things that the founders of every country should know. It's not just America. And one of them is that an armed population is a lot safer and able to control their government than one who is subject to being dragged out of their house at midnight and nobody can do anything about it. And people that like Solzhenitsyn, that wrote about what the Soviets did and what they wish they had done in response, you know, to resist better after the fact, after they went to the gulags and the prisons and everything. That needs to be learned by all the countries in the world. And when you combine that, well, that goes along with the idea of self-sufficiency and the right to freedom of speech. And that's being taken away, very sophisticated programs by the world leaders. It's not just America. The whole world is being clamped down on for the ability to speak. And the trick that they're using, thinking that the populations are getting really stupid enough to believe it, is that things that are offensive, which of course they define as anything that doesn't agree with their policies, things that are offensive should not be legal to say, because the world is just much nicer if nothing's offensive, right? And people that can't think anymore and that are living on junk food and chemicals saying there's no environmental emergency and stuff like that, they believe it and say, yeah, you're right. Offensive things should be outlawed. And they start with things that pretty much would offend almost anybody and say, well, we're just going to outlaw the bad people, you know, so you can still say all the good things, don't worry. And then they expand it to go out to step by step by step by step, anything that's in a threat to their intended policies for your country. And pretty soon you can't say anything. And there are things being said, well, being criminalized to say now in New York State, for example, that are just normal speech and they're about people coming into the country illegally. You can't talk about that. You can't call them the legal status that they are, because that's hurtful. And they have this vague kind of weird argument where they're equating people who sneak into your country with people who went through the legal process to get there, and saying that's the same thing. And that if you say these things, which I'm not going to repeat right now, then you're against all the people who immigrated into your country legally. And then just wait, think you'll believe it. That's a real testament to the brainwashing that's happened, that may have made people unable to really think and speak clearly. And then that's been combined. The censorship that's going on now on social media is really big tech and social media. Big tech meaning search engines and things. And, you know, don't use the regular search engines. Use ones like DuckDuckGo. And that's probably better than StartPage. And there's others that are being created now. And there are web browsers like one that I just signed up for yesterday called Dissenter, that look like they're going to be really good, and they're not going to spy on you or collect your data and sell it to government and to private corporations. And it's not just for advertising. There's much more that they can do with that data and future steps that that's going to be better to avoid. So some of these private platforms are starting now. They need to be supported. So anyway, all that's being combined in various countries, which are on different sections of the road to total tyranny, like in the UK and Australia, where they've already disarmed all their citizens. And so places like London are now more dangerous than New York. And even if they can't get guns, they'll get knives and stab you or run over you, because they know nobody can defend themselves. And it's not just the tools that are missing. I know specifically of cases in the UK where they've arrested a person in their house who tried to defend themselves with household kitchen utensils, because that's all they had, and they sent them to prison. This is the direction it's going, in total helplessness. And they're combining that with financial control, so that you'll either be on welfare and have to agree to any conditions for getting your welfare, or you will be working constantly. Both parents of a family will have to work, which leaves the kids with no parents and nobody to raise them, except for government, which we talked about before. And that's all because of financial stress in countries all over the world that are very rich. And it's not just America and Switzerland and places like that that are rich. It's every country. And the reason that every country is rich is because wealth comes out of the earth, and it's combined with human ingenuity and labor. So, for example, Charles Walters, who used to run, when he was alive, he started and ran Acres USA, great natural agriculture magazine that's still going on. We've had the new people from it on the show several times on Sundays. And he was saying, look, real economics, which he wrote a lot about, he wrote a book called Unforgiven, which was really good. And he said, if you take one corn seed, a kernel of corn, and you plant the corn seed in the ground, you may, well, nowadays people are removed from nature, but most people were involved in farming before, which was a lot better situation than now. And they noticed that when you put a corn seed in the ground, it makes this whole big corn plant with hundreds of new corn seeds out of nowhere visible. It's just like magic. It's nature just saying, okay, here is wealth from the earth. It's origin. It's not a trade. It's you do what's necessary and it just gives it to you. And you combine that with ingenuity and manufacturing and hopefully organic whole food processing, not turning it into something dead like they're doing now. And you get things of value, and then you have tokens that represent that, like gold or silver coins, that save you from ever having inflation if you base it on that. And that creates an economy. And the same thing with mining, where you get gold out of the ground and copper out of the ground and all kinds of things from mining. That's money, new wealth coming into circulation. Every country that I know of in the world, except maybe if somebody makes a country on a 100-square-foot island somewhere or something, pretty much any country in the world, even if it's total desert, has massive wealth. And we're in a system right now where that massive wealth is all going to certain controlling interests. And so, you know, and the communists say, oh, look at these bad rich people, whom they usually represent anyway. And they say, we have to steal everything they have and give it to you poor, suppressed other people. And then it's going to be great. Everybody's going to be rich. And then everybody ends up starving except for the organizers of the utopia. And they end up in, you know, palaces that are protected from the common people. And it's a complete hoax. And that's being done in America right now, where they're pushing socialism, communism. They're just marching in the street, which they should be allowed to do. But people are falling for this kind of stuff. And it's really dumb. There's no understanding of how economics and freedom-related issues really work anymore, because education is being completely, you know, ransacked and destroyed. So, I mean, the people who are homeschooling are fighting back against that, I think. And some of the private schools are realizing and trying to be a remedy for that. But many of them are just private public schools, basically. There's hardly any difference. So the banks, the central banks, they have this facade and image of the bank is a place where the people who have the bank have all this money, right? And they're going to help the community by lending it to you so that you can do things and multiply it. And well, as Edward Griffin and others have very well explained, that's not what banking is. You know, we've had Alex Newman even talking about it on Lost Arts Radio, but also Edward Griffin, and we've discussed it a lot. And the central banks are the death of any country, and they keep people in slavery in a place where they should be rich. Not because somebody stole the rich people's money and gave it to them. That's really a bad idea. But just because ingenuity and labor will turn the wealth, the natural wealth of your country, into money and goods and services and all kinds of attributes of an extremely good lifestyle. That's the natural course of events if you leave the market free to operate and you don't allow people to produce wealth by killing the country or killing everybody, all the people, or poisoning everybody like, you know, Bayer and Monsanto are involved in heavily, and all the things that are destroying the life support system of the planet. That's a really bad idea. And those things are not free market. They're crimes against humanity. There's a difference. But it's not very well understood now, because people are educated by these really dumbing down TV programs. And now Hollywood and the movies are way worse than they were a few decades ago. So they're destroying people's mentality too. And I know Caitlin Bennett has been going around doing surveys like Mark Dice does, and on the beach in various places in Florida and California and the northeast of America and places like that. And the kids that she talks to, and I don't mean like five-year-olds, but people in their 20s and 30s and 40s sometimes, they're not aware of anything that's going on. They don't know, you know, what is a state of their own country or a foreign country. That a lot of them I watched today on one of her videos didn't know where Canada was, and they live in the U.S. Canada's not very far away, or what states border Canada, or what the Declaration of Independence is. These are products of modern education. And at this point, the world needs inspiration and hope from anywhere, any country that can supply it. And the idea of making your country great, whether it's America or any fill in the blank with 100 and some other countries in the world, is like Yoda said, you know, war not make one great. It's not to beat up other countries, which the media tries to tell you that's all, and it's all fascist idea. And no, it's not. That's a complete intentional lie. It's to inspire other countries. It's like, make yourself a great person, not to subjugate other people and enslave them or hurt them. But if you manage to do that, which is a really challenging thing in your own life, given all the circumstances that we're all having to deal with, other people are going to think, wow, it's possible to really improve yourself. That's probably one of the best services you could ever do for humanity, is take care of yourself, develop yourself, find out what your physical and mental and emotional and spiritual potential is, all kinds of potential, and become it. It's like, I guess a famous quote of Gandhi is, become the change in the world that you want to see. Become the person that you could be. You know, we're really trying to do that, all of us, and need to encourage each other. It's a challenging job to do that. So making your country great for the first time or again is a really good idea. It's not, you know, nationalism is a very good thing. It's not the media tries in America, where the media is a complete horrible entity, you know, in total collusion, all these separate, apparently separate media companies. There's only about five. They control all the corporate media now. And they want you to think that nationalism is basically fascist, right? It's terrible. And globalism is the way to have world peace. And everybody, it's the ultimate multicultural thing, right? But that's opposite of the truth, because under world tyranny, the differences between cultures are obliterated and everybody's under the same control. So one version of that is what's being pushed in America and other places now, and what's in control in China and North Korea and Venezuela has been, and places like that. It's communism, and the results and tactics that they use, which always go to the same end, are on display. They promote it, saying that this is going to be great. You're going to finally get rid of all those evil rich people. Not the really rich people, but the ones who still have anything that they own. And what ends up is everybody starving except the people in control of the utopia. A really serious situation in China. Not in China, but in Hong Kong right now, under the threat of total annihilation by the communist Chinese government, which was going to do it anyway. But they had made a deal with Great Britain when Great Britain handed over control of Hong Kong, which was becoming rich. And they said, well, okay, the communist Chinese government can take over, but they can't do it till 2047. And that seems like way in the future, right? It's not way in the future. If the world survives, it's only, you know, like 27, 28 years from now. Not a good deal for the people in Hong Kong, but that's the deal. And now the Chinese Communist government is trying to do it now instead, with the justification that there were all these terrible protesters. And you know the story of that. We talked about it before. And they're protesting a proposed law that would allow the mainland Chinese government to extradite them for being accused of crimes. And they would disappear because the Communist Chinese government in China, we know what they do to people. I mean, if you guys watch Alex's show, or we've had Mitchell Gerber from Vietnam, and who's been in China a lot, investigating the fact that they pick up Falun Gong practitioners and other dissenters to the government, and they don't just shoot them and bury them or something in a mass grave. They kill them when they've got an order for their organs, and then they sell those. It's not very nice. It's kind of similar to the version that they use with Planned Parenthood. But with Planned Parenthood, they don't drag you out of your house. They trick you into offering your body for an abortion, and then they do this to your baby. Not very nice, but a little bit different style. Anyway, we're looking for Western countries right now, not religious tyrannies like they have in countries in the Middle East and some in Africa, and communism like in China or Venezuela or North Korea. We need countries where they actually get a benevolent ruler in charge who takes the job because he wants to help the country, and it looks like that's who Bolsonaro may have been. And as far as I know, he's still going. And the current president of the U.S. is clearly like that because, and I have people telling me every week that he's just like all the rest. He's totally corrupt. He's a puppet. He's a servant of evil. And no, if he is a servant of evil, he's doing a terrible job because he stopped TPP. He's calling out religious terrorism. He's saying that the border needs to be physically secured. Though you can't say stuff like that. If you're a servant of evil, you got to learn what evil wants, and it doesn't want that stuff. So no, you're not thinking very clearly. But one person, Bolsonaro or the U.S. president or good president in Poland or places like that, can't do everything by themselves. They need not a totally brain dead population. And it's not just the ability to think, it's some kind of spiritual awareness, not religious, because every religion that I know of, even Buddhism in one weird case in Africa, has been used to murder a whole bunch of people. So being super religious, and I've dealt in business with super religious people who are some of the biggest criminals, not all of them, but certain ones I'm thinking of were, and I fell for it, of course, it was my fault, but I'm talking about real connection with your inner guidance and with the spiritual reality, no matter what you call it. And if you don't have that in a country, even if it's a constitutional republic, even if it's a benevolent monarchy, even if it's a really well-organized democracy where you're not taking away the rights of the minority, which democracies usually do, it won't work if the people are really dumbed down. And what's going on in the world right now seems a lot like what was described as happening in Atlantis in the end times of that. It was a very advanced country, technology way beyond what we have now, because it wasn't technology that hurt people. You know, now you think, well, yeah, we've got this wonderful telecom technology for cell phones. Yeah, it gives you brain cancer, but, you know, advanced technology always gives you brain cancer or other things like that. It's always bad. It's a trade-off. No, it's not. That was all intentional. Frequencies could have been used for telecommunication that were not harmful, and they were discarded, just like drugs that are suggested for the medical industry that don't have enough bad side effects, and they're not used either. This stuff is not just from oversights. But what happened, you can read Emerald Tablets by Thoth, and Atlantis sank down first in its spiritual awareness to a point where it was a danger to the whole, at least the whole planet. And it was destroyed because of that, so that it wouldn't go any further. And it really looks a lot like what's happening here. And in fact, they described most of the population as being possessed by unfriendly entities. And there's these big struggles of groups that wanted to just enslave everybody. It was a lot like now. And Thoth puts it, he said something like they're gradually overtaken by lower energies and darkness, and right before they were destroyed. We're not at that point, I don't think, quite yet, but looking at the mobs in the streets that are completely insane and violent, corruption in America and in places like that is now in charge, and not the current president. I don't agree with the people who think that he's part of that, but he's surrounded by traitors. He's totally demonized and hated by the media since he started running for office. I don't think he can do it alone. So the population has to become conscious, you know, and I hope that happens in time. It would already be much worse if we hadn't been given the brief reprieve of a president who actually wants to help the country. It was the same thing with John Kennedy in America, but he couldn't be allowed to do that. The power structure that he didn't really understand ended up killing him, and we're right in danger of the same thing happening again. But for the moment, with a president who says things that are amazingly good, and his hypnotized detractors say, no, he has a really poor vocabulary, and he's a racist and all that. No, he's the opposite of a racist. I mean, and we've just discussed that before. but he's inspiring people like Bolsonaro and people in Eastern Europe, and the people in Hong Kong are waving American flags and, you know, begging for help, but they're part of China, you know, so it's pretty hard to help them. They have to come up with something, I think, on their own. But they're all inspired by the little bit of what started to wake up in America. But you know, I'm not either party. I'm not a Republican or a Democrat or anything else. I don't want labels because they're blinders. Once you have labels, it's really hard to look outside the limits of that belief system, and I don't want that. It's important that we get as clear as possible. And when I say good things about the current president, I certainly recognize the bad stuff he does out of ignorance and bad advice mostly, but when I talk about the good things, then people say, well, how can you do that? They know that I've been a really fierce environmental activist for more than 50 years, since the mid-60s. And I was originally a Democrat before that. That was what I was brought up. I thought they were kind and compassionate and generous and fair and, you know, liberal, which means liberty. They believe in liberty. And I gradually found out, well, that's not entirely accurate, to say the least. But I have a background in environmental work since the mid-60s, and I worked with Alan Chadwick and John Hammaker and Don Weaver about climate issues in the mid-60s, when it wasn't a popular thing going on. A book called Survival of Civilization, if you ever want to look at it, and also about clean energy and oil companies being involved in perpetuating war in Vietnam and places like that, which I felt was really important. So people ask how I could possibly say America has a reprieve with a president who thinks that Internet of Things is okay and 5G is great and signed an executive order helping biotech, which was really horrible. He fell for the Syrian false flag. He's done all these things. He's a horrible failure with Russia because of being pressured into that by the opposing political party, told that if he wasn't an enemy of Russia, he'd be called a Russian agent and all this junk. Hires terrible advisors and who turn out to be his own enemies, and supports chemical agriculture, which I don't. I support the farmers, but not what they were taught, how to farm by poisoning the land and the food. That is not a good idea. And this president that we have now allows Trump to stay, I mean, allows Assange to stay in prison. That's like a disgrace to the planet, because Assange is a global hero, in my opinion. Doesn't know anything about health, obviously, by what he does to his own body with junk food. But the good thing is that America has a leader right at the moment who's not recognized by most of them, but or by a lot of people, but he loves the country and has been willing to give up massive wealth and security for himself and his family to try to help us. Totally inclusive, not a racist, wants fair and respectful trade and not war, which is, I think, really good. All the Democrats should be in favor of that. He wants prosperity, incredible courage and sacrifice. I'm trying to talk fast because we're almost out of time. He calls out religious terrorism for what it is, calls the opposing party totally mentally ill, which they are, most of the leaders anyway. And but one man in Brazil or America or Eastern Europe or anything can't really fix everything by himself, surrounded by people that are enemies of that. And the media and a lot of the world right now is a major enemy of mankind, humankind. Other governments too, or like China, Chinese government, are clearly working for America's downfall and the downfall of all the so-called Western countries in what used to be Europe and the UK and Australia, New Zealand, destroying normal family units and normal ethics and overthrowing basic biology and not teaching it anymore, not teaching economics or anything important. And we have program TV and movies, and they're trying to sexualize children and make them completely berserk with drag queen story hour all over the world. And those things are heavily funded by interests that want to overthrow any trace of being a normal human and bringing in censorship at the same time of anybody who tells the truth and threatens the program and bringing hatred of people who do that. So I would say, just like in the later days of Atlantis, before it was allowed to sink, which is an interesting story in itself, I think, from what I've dug into with that, it looks like about 65 million people died in one night. Right now we're in a kind of a serious situation. There's darkness that's spread all over the world, and we have a chance still to turn it around, I think. Globalist corporations, though, are controlling the governments and poisoning the biosphere, and part of a program to poison, as Mike has said, and I can't mention his last name because he's totally banned everywhere, and hopefully you know who I'm talking about. He's talked about the terraforming of Earth, and he thinks it's going to be a non-human new population that takes over when all the regular ones are gone. I think they're just going to leave it barren with no life at all as the results of a ceremonial sacrifice. But whichever one of us may be right, it's the same procedure that's going through now of exterminating life step by step, and you can see it. And the people that need to be figuring out ways to stop that are thinking really superficially with labels, and you have to be either conservative or liberal, and you know, the conservatives think that there's no environmental emergency, there's no real environmental problem, everything's great that way. They understand that maybe Agenda 21 is a real threat, which absolutely is very serious. But a whole bunch of other stuff they're totally blind to. They support drug medicine as a rule, and don't think it's a problem with pollution, and think that petrochemical energies technologies are really great when they're not really great. They're really inefficient and dirty and haven't been necessary for 100 years. And if you want to get more detail on that, look at the work of Stephen Greer. People who try to come out with the energy technologies that are clean and free tend to commit suicide because they get murdered. But the liberals are just as bad on the other side, or worse, and supporting really horrible things like the Green New Deal just because it's got some true agricultural stuff in it. It's economic suicide and gives all the health control to a corrupt federal government, which is going to require everybody to have the invasive treatments that they're starting to do now anyway. And they're coming and forced injections of horrible chemicals, which California and New York are really going for now. And the people who say they're liberal, even though they should be into freedom, and they're pushing hate of men and people with light-colored skin now because it's switched from when it was against people with dark-colored skin, both of which are insane. And they want countries to have no borders, and they want babies to be killed before and after birth. That is great. And they've just gone completely evil and insane. So neither party is really, in my opinion, trustable at all. They're both infiltrated by really bad forces. It's obviously total loss of intelligence on both sides, and tyranny of the labels. And some of this insanity is from physical poisoning. Geoengineering is a big part of it. Chemical agriculture, medical drugs, vaccines. Read Dr. Molden's book, That Every One of Them Causes Harm. That's Andrew Molden, who was also killed for trying to tell people what was really going on with that. A brilliant brain scientist, Andrew Molden. Look him up if you get a chance. And from food that's processed to death, so there's no life force in it, and intentional pollution of the water with fluoride and other chemicals, poisons. And look at the work of Dr. Paul Connett if you want to know more detail on that. He's great. He was a recent guest on our show. EMF is a big one. Telecom companies are hiding the damage of it. It's not something unknown that needs more research. It's very well known. But it's not just a loss of intelligence. It's that a real dark energy is spreading and seeming to offer rewards. And there's lots of examples of entertainment, things of very high profile celebrities who said, yeah, we made a deal. We sold our soul to Satan. And we've seen some specific ones in the last few days that have come out on video and said that, and said, yeah. And then we got recognized and lots of money right away, and it was incredible. And with only little detail is when you die, you have, the deal is you go with dark power at that point. It's really not a very smart deal. Higher level bankers like Ron Bernard and others have explained at the higher levels of banking, it's sacrificing kids and doing stuff that the average person would say could never be possible. But, and that's their camouflage, is that normal people wouldn't think it could ever happen. And the corporations, you know, there's nothing wrong with corporations unless they're used for bad ends, which all the, almost all the big global corporations are now, with a few exceptions, but not many. And there's a temptation to join darkness, you know, and get all these wonderful rewards, but it ends up as a very bad deal. And you find out that, oh, we were all connected. It's not us and them. It's the real spiritual teachers have taught. And this is not religion. This is like real, you know, down-to-earth practical teaching, is that you hurt somebody else intentionally other than in self-defense, and you're doing that to yourself. And once you really deeply understand that, even if you're in the upper levels of banking and power structure and evil corporations and stuff, you think, wait a minute, what am I doing? I'm committing my own spiritual suicide, maybe physical. And if you're in that position anywhere in the power structure, I'm not suggesting that you lose your job. You know, I don't want your family to starve and things like that. But look for things that you can do from your current position. The reason we don't serve evil, referring to the title of this transmission, is that it's a really bad deal. It's very simple. It's not good. They trick you into thinking that you can be okay by hurting other people. And you can't. And we've all hurt other people by mistake. And when you realize that, it's makes you not feel good. Then you have to try to change course. And if you're now currently working within some part of the power structure that is brainwashing kids and you know it, or giving them poisonous medicine in the name of advanced science, or you're working in entertainment and you're brainwashing people to think things that will hurt them, you don't have to necessarily quit your job and starve right now, but look for something that you can do that's actually good. People within the school system, there's a lot of good things going on, organic farming and regenerative agriculture and urban farming and natural means of maintaining and regaining health, and alternative search engines and browsers that don't spy on you. You know, I talked about dissenter media platforms like Brighteon.com and MeWe and Gab. There's exposure of what's going on with chemtrails and EMF and chemical agriculture and all that. Homeschooling is a really good thing to learn about. Unschooling as well. Dana Martin was on our show. Worldwide nationalism is a very good thing, and that's rising, and that's scaring the power structure, I'm sure. Bringing back lost arts and crafts and home businesses and ways to make money, because you need money in this civilization now, that are honest, and you're making money by helping people. We've got enough creativity to think of stuff like that. We need to do it. Positive camps and real education for kids, rewards for serving light energy are truly great, and they're worthwhile, and they help you and they help everybody else at the same time. And they teach you that truly loving yourself, not with ego, but by help, you know, become developing into who you could be, which is loving yourself, is the same as love of others. It opens it up and it gives you better health, and your mind clears up. You don't have to be subject to fear anymore, which a lot of the crazy religious teachings have said you should be afraid of everything. It's the opposite. Fear of anything is useless. Things aren't scary. Things are what they are. Scary is up to you, and you don't need fear for anything. No shame, and you get new wisdom, and start looking for your best version now. Use the time that you've got, I would suggest. And if you're already in a power structure that is serving darkness, thinking that it's going to really be great for you in the end, you need to get more intelligent and realize that it's not. And even if you think you're in a deal where you can't get out, that's not true. You can anytime you want. And I suggest you consider that. And then we're out of time. So I'll just say that tomorrow night on the Sunday show is Dr. Cousins talking about diabetes, that the official notion from the medical industry that diabetes is an incurable disease. You can find that on the internet. That's not true, just like the other degenerative diseases. And Dr. Cousins is the author of a book called There Is a Cure for Diabetes, because he proved that that's true. And you can hear him talk about it. It's going to be a great discussion tomorrow. Lost Arts Radio, in case we ever talk about anything controversial, we may disappear at any moment. So get on our mailing list at lostartsradio.com. And we're not using it, but we can. If we disappear, we can reach you that way with information. Planetary Healing Club for the people who seriously want to go much deeper into this stuff and work on themselves and have some support in a very valuable group environment that I'm there live every week talking without limitation about stuff that I've been doing for research over the last 50 years. That starts in, the meeting is in 30 minutes. You want to find out an access point to that, planetaryhealingclub.com. And planetaryhealingclub.com, I invite you, if you want to start doing a deeper level of work with all that stuff, look into it. And in the meantime, any questions or comments, we're still small enough where I'll read all of them and respond as possible. Richard@lostartsradio.com. We're over time now. So have a great week. Thanks for spending this hour with us. I really appreciate that very much. You're the essence of the whole program. And thanks for letting me be part of it. And I'll see you next time.
Introducing Lost Arts Radio on Subscribestar.com. Just go to Subscribestar.com/Lost Arts Radio to find our rewards program, offering 10 different giving levels starting at just $5 a month. We offer incredible value for any rewards level, from extra monthly interview videos not available publicly to subscription-based Planetary Healing Club videos once, twice, or three times a month, to private counseling sessions with Lost Arts Radio host Richard Sachs, to tech help with me, Doug Diamond. We even have one option where you can be the star on Lost Arts Radio as our guest on a specially produced show just for you. We conduct an interview with you and broadcast it to our growing network and listenership. Our Subscribe Star levels are one of a kind and offer great rewards for any budget. Please help support Lost Arts Radio. We can't do it without you. With increasing censorship on many of our channels, we really need your support today to keep doing what we're doing. As Richard says, we're not even at survival level yet. Lost Arts Radio has three weekly shows. Lost Arts Radio Live each Saturday night at 7:30 Eastern, 4:30 Pacific, which is a live stream currently on multiple platforms in case we get banned from some of the larger ones. Right now, we're on two YouTube channels, Facebook Live, Periscope, which is Twitter, Twitch, and DLive. You can access these broadcasts by going to www.lostartsradio.com/live for all the links to those channels. The Planetary Healing Club meets right after Lost Arts Radio Live at 9 p.m. Eastern, 6 p.m. Pacific on Saturday nights. And our Sunday show with guests airs at 9 p.m. Eastern, 6 p.m. Pacific on Sunday nights on our Blog Talk Radio channel, our YouTube channels, Facebook pages, and on Brighteon. Be sure to sign up for our free email list just in case we do get banned on big tech's platforms. It's just a matter of time, really. They don't like the stuff we talk about, and they do not want the truth out there. In fact, they have already attacked us numerous times. Join our free email list so we can let you know where we are and how to access our shows. The sign-up button is right on the top right on most pages of our website. The best starting point for all things Lost Arts Radio is our main site, lostartsradio.com, where you can find the hottest news selection videos that we curate just for you. Those are on the homepage and added to daily, as well as articles and breaking news about information you really need to know. Our show archives, the 10 most recent shows, are right on our homepage, as well as our Blog Talk Radio page at blogtalkradio.com/lostartsradio, or just click the All Things Radio Show tab right on our website. We're in the podcast directory on iTunes, and all of our shows except the banned ones are on our YouTube channels at Lost Arts Radio and at Diamond Disc. Our Brighteon page is really taking off, and we often have editors' picks videos right on their homepage. Visit Brighteon.com/channel/Lost Arts Radio. On our site, you can also access our free listener forum as well as sign up for the Planetary Healing Club, which is just $25 a month. where you get private access to a one-on-one interaction with host Richard Sacks and myself and the other club members who participate live. More info can be found at planetaryhealingclub.com. We're providing solutions in there to make the world a better place. Come join us. Thanks again for listening to and supporting Lost Arts Radio. We love having you as part of our family to learn, experience, and grow with.